welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Brilliant. I loved him tremendously, and he was a great encourager, and he always wanted me to go for the most, you know, and he would always put his children first. But if I got my image of God, even from my father, it would be woefully inadequate. So if you've got, you know, if you had an awful father, it's not a great start. It's like you're sort of here, and maybe I'm here, but God is where the moon is. It doesn't come into the picture. God as a father is somebody who's loving and caring. And we get a bit of that from this parable, don't we? All right, let's have a look at it then. It's in Luke 15, if you're not sure where it is, and you've got a Bible and you want to look it up. And verse 11, Jesus continued. He's already told one parable, but he's going into something else. In fact, he's told more than one. There was a man who had two sons. Remember, God and two sons. Now, that's interesting. So he's talking about people that have a depth of relationship with him. Okay? The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so the father divided his property between them. Now, this is a parable about God. Now, as we know, God knows what we're going to do, doesn't he? Says he even knows how many hairs we've got on our head. Yeah? Less for some of you, I know, but that's just the ladies. But God knows everything about us. He knows how we're going to react. He knows what we're going to do. So in the context of this parable, this younger son comes to God the Father and says, "I want everything. I want all my share now." And you know what? The Father gives it to him. There's lesson number one. You haven't got to get everything sussed, everything sorted, every box ticked before God will give to you. Because a lot of people carry this around. If I pray enough, if I read my Bible enough, if I go to Kingdom Faith Church and sit on enough purple chairs, I will get my prayers answered. You probably won't get them answered because you're doing it by works. You're saying, if I'm good enough, if I do enough, God, I told six people about Jesus in the last decade. So, well, I was going to say week, but that was a bit unrealistic. So you must be answering my prayers today. Rubbish. God answers your prayers on the basis of one thing only. His mercy. And his mercy was won for us by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We were singing about him earlier. His death on the cross. Amen. It's about the fact that we are weak and that it's him that's strong. And he doesn't actually make us strong. A lot of people think that God makes you strong. He doesn't want to make you strong. You'll be independent of him. If you get really strong in character, you'll walk away from God and get on with your life and miss out on what he had planned for you. He wants you to be dependent on him. He wants you to lean on him. But that's not weakness. That then becomes strength. That's why that song is, "You are stronger, you are..." Well, I can't sing it, but yeah. That's why that song is like that. It's about receiving your strength from him. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Amen. But not strong in me, strong in Christ, strong in God. All right, so we can go to Father, and he might know that we're likely to mess up with this stuff. Because that's the problem, you see. We think, "Oh, I don't know if I can ask for God to anoint me to heal others. He can't trust me." Try him. He trusts you far more than you trust yourself. Because he will allow you to mess up even. Because that's what's going to happen here. This younger son, he's not going to go and spend the money winning the lost. He's not going to go and build a church with it. He's not going to go and give it to people. He's not going to raise up an orphanage. He's going to go and spend it. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country. He wanted to be out of sight of God. He wanted to be well away from the father. He didn't want him watching. It's not God that distances himself from us. It's us that distances us from him. We're the ones that go off to distant countries. We get involved in stuff and then we say, "Where's God? He's left me." No, he hasn't. He's there waiting for you with his arms open. Anyway, not long after that, the younger son got together, set off for a distant field and squandered his wealth in wild living. One of the greater phrases of the Bible. The wild living means exactly what you expect. It was the getting drunk on parties. It was meeting the women. It was having an awesome time. Not. He thought he was having an awesome time. But it was taking him further and further and further away from the Father. And therefore further and further and further away from the purpose that he had in life. It couldn't lead anywhere. Now, this guy, he was blessed because it goes wrong very quickly. For some people, it takes years and years and years, and they get so far away from God, he seems so distant, they wonder if they can ever get back. This guy's blessed. It doesn't take him long. He gets in a bunch of friends, and they're friends for money. While he's buying drinks, while he's attracting the women, while he's got the fast cars, they're with him. When the money runs out, the friends are out the door. Yeah? But he's got to do something. So after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. It was a time of need. It was a time of recession. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him in the fields to feed pigs. Now, just for a minute, go back into first century Jewish culture. Feeding pigs was the ultimate horrendous job because pigs were regarded as an unclean animal anyway. So to actually be in amongst them, feeding them, yeah, it was like, ugh, we weren't cleaning the sewers in London type job. I don't know how bad that is. He longs to feed it. And anyway, he's feeding the pigs, and he's so hungry, he wants to eat the pig food. I mean, even today, you know, you could pop down the A64 and there's lovely those lovely free-range pigs. I don't expect these were particularly free-range. There's lovely free-range pigs. But as you're driving past, you don't usually think, oh, let's stop and go and get some of their food. Looks gorgeous. Here, piggy, what you got today? Oh, muck. Yummy. Shall we fry some up for breakfast? You just don't think like that, do you? But this guy is now so hungry, he's so desperate, he wants pig food, sausages. All right, the food must have, in his culture must have been unclean in goodness knows how many ways, let alone hygiene ways, but he's so hungry that he wants some food. Sometimes people do have to get desperate before they turn to the Lord. Sometimes it's only desperation that gets you to the point where you say, okay, right, I'm going to give up trying on my own. But if you're in that position sitting in this room this morning of Father, God the Father is distant in your life, don't wait for it to get that bad. You don't have to. He's there waiting now. Yeah? Anyway, the story goes on. When he came to his senses, he realizes, what am I doing in my life? I've made some pretty stupid choices here. He's probably lost them by now. He's sold them to get some money for food before he ran it out. You know, he probably had an iPhone. You know, he had an Apple MacBook Pro with the extra memory. He had top of the range broadband access. He had all these things. But it was time for him to come to his senses. And he starts to think, and a lot of people think like this about God, think like he does here. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. How many of my father's servants are better off than I am, he's saying. I'll go back to my father and say to him, what can I say to him? How can I get back in his good box? What can I say that will make him take me back? At least, I know, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I mean, he knew that. I think that bit was totally genuine. He knew that he'd gone against what his father wanted him to do. He'd been brought up with his father. He knew the way his father lived. He knew what his father wanted. And you know, people know what God wants. Actually, they do know. You know, that people do need, you know, education and training and how to walk in holiness and righteousness. But there is a conscience within every man that tells every man how to live. Every woman knows what God wants, really. You know, our culture today tries to suppress that guilty conscience. It calls good evil and evil good. But everybody knows, really. It's still there. Yeah? He knows I've sinned against the Father and I've sinned against heaven. And he says, he rehearses his lines, doesn't he? He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Yes, I've blown it. I can't be his son anymore. He gave me everything. Everything I ever wanted. He gave me my He hasn't got anything else to give me. I asked for it all anyway. I've had my full share. But I could work for him. Make me like one of your servants. That's what I can ask him. Because I'll get decent food then. I won't have to eat this pig muck. So he got up and went to his father. He got up. He got up. He rose up. And in everybody's life, there has to come a point when they get up. All right? Jesus, although God the Father is there waiting for us, Jesus isn't somebody who went around showing love for people in Israel by doing this. There, there. It's all right. Don't worry about it. It's not that kind of wet, soppy love. You've got to get up. You've got to make a response. Jesus needs men and women who will make a difference. But it's him that enables them to make a difference. It's his love and his compassion for us that builds us up and lifts us into a different place. But it starts when we get up, when we make a decision. Yeah? So he got up. But look at this, and went to his father. He just made a response. He just turned. But while he was still a long way off, and you get this picture, don't you, of the son rehearsing those lines, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired men. He's trudging back towards the father. And I don't think he sees, because it says while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He's watching. The father's always watching for any response from any person. Because it says here, and he was filled with compassion. Compassion is not sympathy. The father didn't just think, oh dear, he's in a right mess. I'll let him have a shower. And he can be one of my servants. He's filled with compassion. Compassion is active. He wants to see his son restored. When God the Father sees the smallest of responses in people, it's like the Father is there watching. Yes, there's a response. I've got an opportunity to get into their lives. And it says he was filled with compassion for him. And he, not the son, the Father runs to the son. Bounce down the road. And the son, oh, Father, take me on. As the father bowls on into him. It's my son, he's back. It's not some sort of dry. Okay, on your knees. Repent. That's not good enough. Bit more. What about the women? You know? He doesn't get him on his knees going through every single wrong thing he's done. He's belting down the road. He's filled with compassion. He runs to his son, throws his arms around him. The son hasn't had a chance to say anything at this point. The son hasn't said sorry. He's just trudging back. He's just doing the response that he can do. He's just got up. He's just said, Father. Well, actually, he hasn't even said that yet, really, has he? So the son belts down the father belts down the road, smack into the son, throws his arms around him and kissed him. I mean, actually, the Greek tense there means, it means kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed till the boy was covered in slobber. Anyway, it says, then the son said to him, Father, naughty. Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But now that wasn't his full rehearsed speech. Do you remember the next bit was, take me on like one of your hired servants. And but he doesn't get a chance to get that out. No man, no, as soon as the words are out of his mouth, that just this bit, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. His father is having none of that. He cuts him straight off. Okay, he thinks he's no longer worthy. The son thinks he's no longer worthy. The father knows he's my son. It never changes. And anybody that responds to the Lord in any way whatsoever, the Lord is there saying, this is my child. Yes. Anybody else, get your hands off. He's mine. And he throws his arms around them and kisses them and kisses them and kisses them and kisses them. Hallelujah. I used to act this out with some of the children occasionally when I did it. You know, and I'd have a boy playing the thing of the son, and you could do the slow motion running of the father. and you'd sort of be reading the scripture at the same time. And the father ran down and threw his arms around them. At that point, they were getting worried. But when you then said, and kiss them, the look on their faces... But I didn't do that bit. Even I became English at that bit. But anyway, he tries to say, I'm not no longer worthy to be called your son, but the father is having none of this. No way. But the father said to his servants, before he can get out the servant bit, quick, get on with it, servants. I'm not having my son thinking like this. He needs restoration, and he needs restoration now. I don't want him having this dirt, drippy, pig-feeding type of thinking. He may have messed up. But quick, come on, we're going to sort this out. He said, and bring the best robe and put it on him. The best robe. He was still covered in pig muck. He was still filthy. But the father has something for him. But he doesn't just get a sheet off the bed. He says, look, go and get a shower and we'll sort you out some decent clothes. He gets the best robe straight away. The father has the best for us. And when we come to him, even if we're trying to say, I don't know if I'm worthy, he's saying, shut up. And he's putting, in the nicest possible way, and he's putting a robe around you. And I think God does need to tell us to shut up sometimes. There's so much rubbish comes out of our mouth, so much negativity we could speak over our lives. And God just says, oh, please, be quiet, stop it. Yeah. I knew there was a link somewhere. Thank you, Tony. Hallelujah. Put the best robe on him. Well, what's the best robe? From the Christian point of view, it's the robe of righteousness. What is the robe of righteousness? It's Jesus himself. Yeah? Yes. Yes, Jesus himself. Hallelujah. Could you just stand up for a minute, Christine? All right. There she is, a child of God, and God comes to her, God the Father, and totally surrounds her with the very best. The robe of righteousness. She is clothed in Christ. She looks the best. She is the woman about town. She's got it. She's got Jesus. But it's true. You see, we so often don't think. You think, oh, I've got to be humble. No, I'm so humble. I'm such a humble Christian. Yes. A humble Christian is one who knows who he is in Christ. And he's not a superior person that goes around thinking, yes, I'm the best in the world. But he knows he is in Christ. Yes. But comes with a humility knowing that so is everybody else. Yes. You know, he's there to serve. Jesus was the ultimate, but he came to serve. If you want to aspire to greatness in the kingdom, you start with service. Yeah. That's where it begins. Actually, that's where it ends. But never mind. So the best robe is brought for him. The best, the very best. We're clothed in Jesus. Now, when the Father looks at us now, he doesn't see the past. He doesn't see the rubbish. He doesn't see the mistakes. He doesn't see what you got up to. He sees you clothed in this beautiful, 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 beautiful robe and thinks, wow. That's my son. That's my child. Hallelujah. Actually, whether you're a woman or a man, when he looks at you in your position, you're a son. Because the women didn't inherit anything. So in terms of the culture that the Bible has written, you are a son of God. We're all sons of God. We're all firstborn sons of God. We get the whole inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our best robe. But remember, he'd already had everything. He did not deserve this. And put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. What was the ring? The ring was probably the seal of the family. Yes. Yeah, and the seal. So he's got, in other words, by putting the ring on, he's saying, you're my family. And also by having the ring, that seal could be used on documents or as a sign that that son had the authority of the father. Yes. This guy had only just come back covered in pig mess. And already he's got the best robe on and a ring on his finger. He's not come back. The father's not having any of this. I'll just take one of your servants. I'll just be one of your servants. I'll just be a servant. He's not having any of that. He's saying, no, you've got the ring on your finger. You're the boss of the servants. You're here to lead the servants. You're here to show the way. You're here to be a leader. And that's what all Christians are called to be, leaders in the world, to show the way. We have a ring on our finger that says, I belong to the family. Yeah. I belong to the family that is the body of Jesus Christ. I belong to the worldwide family that is called the church. And this ring on my finger has a seal of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I'm around, I have the authority of the Father to say, do this and it will be done. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. We have the authority to release heaven here on earth. Why do we pray for people who are sick? Because we have the authority to release healing into their lives. It's been given to us. We've got the ring on our finger. Why do we pray for people's needs to be met when they've got needs that need, when they're living in poverty? Because we have authority to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. There is no poverty in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. So we pray it into somebody's lives. Amen. God wants the best for everybody. Hallelujah. He's not in heaven going through a list of sins to see whether they're good enough to be healed or not. If they're on the way back, if they're making the smallest of responses, if there's something God can do that they're opening a chink in their armor, he's bang, arms around and slobbering all over them. This is a compassionate God. Compassionate. He's not some distant being up there looking down with a disapproving eye. Instead, he's looking out for response in any one person so he can charge on down and knock them over. Hallelujah. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get him fully equipped. He's back. It's time to be fully equipped. He's not going to walk around limping. God equips you then. He gets the word into your life so that you can stride out in the world. You're not going to step on every thorn. You're not going to cut your feet on every difficult pathway that you're going to go over. Your feet have been shed with these glorious shoes from God. So you've got the best robe on. You've got a ring on your finger and you've got fantastic shoes on your feet that cause you to walk and spring along. Hallelujah. Just be careful when you go down the library steps as you leave. But, now remember, the son deserved nothing. He'd already had his inheritance. There are some people, within the younger son, there's two different groups of people even in this room. There's people who have never followed the Lord. And there's people who have. And the people who have, who've gone away from God and you come back and God goes, yes! But you might never have actually followed God in the first place. What's the difference when you start approaching God? Nothing. God sees you coming. He's bolting down the road. My son's coming home. He throws his arms around you. He's kissing you. He's putting the best robe around your shoulders. He's putting the ring of authority on your finger. And he's putting the best shoes so that you can walk out the gospel. So that you can walk the way that he's got for you. So you can see your destiny, fulfill the destiny that he has in your life. Hey? Hallelujah. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Bring the special beast that we've had prepared. We're going to have a party. This is the opposite of how people often see a disapproving God in heaven. This one sinner has come back. All he's done is said, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against heaven and against yours. He's tried to tell him how unworthy he is and the Father won't have anything of it. He's not even had the opportunity to say, I'm just worthy to be a servant now. That's cut completely off. And the Father is throwing a party because his son's back. Come on, let's have a party. Let's get the neighbors in. I want them to see my son. This is my son. The son, how could the Father be proud of a son that had squandered all that inheritance? Because he was his son. The love was completely unconditional. He was proud of his son. He'd come back. When you come back to God, or when you come to God, God isn't there disapproving. He's saying, yes, my child. I always knew you had it in you. Come on. We're going to walk this together. They began to celebrate with a fatted calf. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine is dead and is alive again. For he was lost and he's found. So they began to celebrate. Hallelujah. They got the music going. They got the dancing going. Is this a picture that sometimes people have of a God when somebody comes to him? No. He gets the music playing and they start dancing. You're back. Yes. Come on. Hallelujah. I suppose it would have been more like this because of it. It's one of my greatest fears about the dancing in heaven, but meanwhile, the older son, part of the family, son, was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. This was one good party, you know. This was loud. He'd got the boys in, they'd put the instruments in, he'd plugged them up, he'd got the best that Scarborough Uni could offer, and they'd turn the amps up, and they were blasting away. Hallelujah. Rob was bashing on his drums, and Josh had actually turned his amp up beyond two. Hallelujah. He normally has his amp sort of just a tiny little bit on, and he goes, "I haven't got it loud," he says. "No, why is my hair pointing backwards, Josh?" Anyway, the older son called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. And the servant says, "Well, your brother's come back. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." Now, if this son had got the heart of the father, he would have dashed in the house, threw his arms around his brother, kissed him, and danced and had a celebrate with him. "My brother's back! Yes! Hallelujah! One's back! He's come!" But he does what a lot of people in the church sometimes do, sadly. "Well, why is he getting all that? He doesn't deserve that. We don't deserve anything." You see, this you've got to feel it a little bit for this guy. He says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out. You know, even when we're in a big sulk because God's doing stuff in other people's lives, God isn't there saying, "Oh, forget it." He's going out and finding you. And who hasn't ever gotten a bit of a sulk because God's done something amazing in somebody else's life and you'd quite like that to happen in yours? Well, I have. Hallelujah. That's not at the moment. And pleaded with him. And the word pleaded is like the word kissed, by the way. It's pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and begged and begged and pleaded. What an incredible picture of how much God wants us to be part of his family. How much God wants the best for us. That God, because Jesus knows what he's talking about. He's not messing around here. He knows who he means when he's saying the Father. So he's saying that Elohim, the creator of the universe, the God, is willing to come to you and plead with you to be part of his family.
Yes, amen.
Even when you're miffed. Even when you're sulking, because we think that, you know, "Oh, well, God turns up when I'm all right with God. You know, when I'm in a good mood, yeah, it's okay." God turns up when we're in a bad mood. He doesn't leave you alone. If you're in bed with the covers over your head sulking, God comes along and pulls the covers back and says, "Hi." Hallelujah. So he called one of the servants. Oh, no, I've done that bit. So the father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," I mean, what a sulk, no longer a brother, "this son of yours," I'm not having anything to do with him, "this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fatted calf for him." He's mega annoyed. He's just so angry. He's been working in the fields. You know, he's been doing the digging. He's been doing the planting. He's been doing the crop spraying. He's been doing the lot. First century cross spraying was very interesting. He's been working hard. But he's totally missing it because he thinks that by working hard, I'm going to get stuff of my father. If I work hard in the fields, he'll reward me. He's trying to earn God's blessing. You can't earn God's blessing. You might want to be able to, but you can't. The only reason to go working in the fields, and it's good to be working in the fields, is because God loves you and enables you to go. But you don't go with a, "If I do this, God will bless me." You go, "I am blessed, so I'm going. I am blessed. God loves me, so I'm going to go and work in the field. Because God's just going to bless me anyway when I go and work in the field. Even if I mess up." God wants us back in the family. If you ever get that sort of attitude of them and us creep into you, get rid of it immediately. Who's he addressing directly here? The Pharisees and the scribes. Because they're saying, "We don't like it the way others are being accepted by you. Because we're the people that have faithfully followed you. What about us? It's not fair. You know? And in a church like this, we can come from all different backgrounds and we can look at the different groups within a church and say, it's not fair. They're getting more blessed, or they've only just arrived. Why are they getting some attention? You know, it can be all, it's because we come from a diverse background. You know, there once was a Kingdom Faith Lamplugh and a Kingdom Faith Scarborough and people from everywhere else. But now there's only one church. And if ever in your mind it comes into your thinking, there's Scarborough people and there's new people, and then get rid of it now, because it's pharisaical religious thinking that the enemy would use to break the church apart. So get it out of your life now. There's only one church. Amen. Hallelujah. There's only one church in the nation, but I'm talking about this body that's God's called together here. Yes. Hallelujah. His family, though. Yes. We're his family. Yes. And we don't want to be the elder son that's saying, because that's what we sound like. Hallelujah. Now, God hasn't given up on you if you've been going, he's actually been coming out and pleading with you. Look, come into the family. Come and join the celebration. Come on, let's have a party. God's a right party animal. He loves celebration. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't have to tell a story that had a party going in it. He tells the story that has a party going in it to show what the kingdom's like. It's fun. And we can enjoy ourselves. Hallelujah. And do the work. My son, the father says, he may be mouthing off. He may be having a right go at his father. And maybe we've all been in a position of having a right go at God for stuff that's happened. Usually because of the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious ones, to be honest. Often that's where it comes from. That's where we get fed up from. Because they try and impose religion on us. They try and impose a code of rules on us. They try and say that we're not worthy. They try and say that we should just be a servant. Yeah, we're servants in the Father's house, but we're also sons. In fact, we're slaves in the Father's house, slaves to righteousness, but we're actually his sons. We only choose to be slaves. My son, the Father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate, be glad, because this brother of yours, he's reminding him, we're one family. This brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And this father just says something, I think, to the son at this point that is so important. You are always with me. The father's never left him. But then he also says, and everything I have is yours. Now remember, Jesus is talking about God and us. So he's saying that God the Father says to us, I am always with you, and everything I have is yours. Even when you're in a bad mood with me, even when you won't come and join the party, even when you're working with a bad spirit and a bad attitude, everything I have is yours. He's saying, son, you've never asked for anything. Doesn't the word of God say in a different place, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you? God is so terribly generous that we can't take it in. We always want to religiousize it a little bit. Is it really totally free, totally independent of the way we've lived our lives? Yes. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing, isn't it? We're going to have a response this morning. We're going to do it in a different way, though, just to finish. Be about another 5, maybe 10 minutes or so, but I think it's right to respond in this way. I'm just going to... We'll stand, I think, to begin with in a minute, but I just want you to... After you've heard that story retold and a story you know well, I just want you to have a fresh sort of hug... blast, succession of kisses from the Lord, your father, your wonderful father, that thinks you're awesome, that when you make the tiniest of responses, belts down the road towards you so that he's with you, so that you can make the other steps. That when you try and say the rubbish about not being worthy or not good enough or you don't know, He's like putting his hand over your mouth and saying, look, you've got Jesus on you. You've got my ring on your finger. You've got my best shoes on your feet. You've got everything you need. Everything I have is your child. And they're just going to have a fresh revelation of that. And we'll stand, as I say. I'm just going to play this music. And as the music's playing, if you want to come forward and kneel at the front, or you want somebody to pray with you, we'll do that as well. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you've never responded to the Father, this morning is your opportunity. You can know this Father, this perfect Father. No matter what your earthly father did, good or bad, it doesn't match up to what the heavenly Father is like. He's one that just wants to give to you. Yeah, you do need to come like the younger son and say, I've sinned. I've done it my way. That's called repentance. He did repent. Repentance means turn around and go a different way. He wasn't still with the pigs. The father didn't go and drag him out the pigsty. He knew there needed to be something within that son that said he got up. Now, always has to be that. But if that's you, and there's that tiny response in you this morning because you've not known the Lord, then you do need to come down the front here. Because we like to pray with you and help you into this relationship so that the Father can throw his arms around you and so that you can come into the life that God has had and intended for you. You're not supposed to be living like you're living. He's got a palatial home in the Spirit. He's got a party for you to go to. He's got wealth for you to have. Everything, in fact, I have is yours, says the Father. And he wants to share it with you. So there's lots of ways you could respond, isn't there? Maybe you've been a bit of an elder son, muttering about how somebody else has got attention or got blessed. Then just get right with God this morning. Maybe you need to come forward. Or maybe you just want to come forward because you want to respond to the word and you just want to come before God. That's what we're going to do. But if you are making this decision for Jesus for the first time, you must just do one thing when you come forward. And that's you need to talk to me, or you could talk to Brian and Shona here. They'll come and be down the front as well. Because you need someone to help you on those first steps and show you how. Because it's brilliant. It's the best way to live. Yes. Amen. Shall we stand?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.